Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
All right, for those of us staying in here today, you got John chapter 14, as we're going to finish out John 14 today, as we're continuing to work our way slowly but surely through the book of John. Today we're going to begin by reading the entire passage, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit. Alright? We got it on the screen behind you. You can find it in your Bible, on your tablet, your iPhone, your Android. And we'll get going. Alright, here we go. We're going to read together. Alright, John 14. We're going to begin in verse number 15. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Thank you. Alright, here we go. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, remember, Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the upper room. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, so there was another guy named Judas, right? Confusing, I know. Okay. This Judas is still in the room. One of the 11 left, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. Verse 24. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Verse 25. Almost there. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say, you heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise up, let us go from here. Now we're going to start right here at this last sentence, because I want you to catch the gravity of what's going on. Rise up, let us go from here correlates to what Matthew and Mark tell us in their Gospels. And Matthew and Mark tell us in their Gospels that after they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. All right, so catch what's going on here. Jesus is literally down to the last few hours that he is with the disciples. From this point, let it rise, let us go from here. What does that mean? That means they're going to the Mount of Olives. Right? So Jesus and the disciples don't have much more time together with each other. Okay? You tell me what you get, so you get some saving. So I want you to think, from today till Easter, Jesus could say anything he wants to say. Right? So what he chooses to say in the last hours and moments he has with his disciples, we just need to realize he chooses them very wisely, and that should carry a lot of weight. It doesn't mean what Jesus says in John chapter 2 is not important. That's not what I'm saying. But Jesus knows he's going to the cross. He knows the disciples are going to be scared and afraid. He knows in their mind they're going to think, hey, he's leaving us. And so whatever Jesus says is going to be hugely important, not just for them, but for me and you. And in this passage today, Jesus weaves three ideas throughout the entire passage. So normally on the last few weeks, we've kind of gone down the passage. So we start at verse 15 and we kind of end at verse 31 because that's the way the argument flows. It just flows one right through. Today, Jesus interweaves three ideas. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the three ideas and where they come up, not just go straight down the passage. That's why I wanted to read it all at one time. All right, so here are the three ideas. I'm going to give them to you. They're on your outline, but I'll give you the three ideas. We'll come back to them. Here's the first one. If you love me, that's the first one. The Father is sending a helper. That's the second one. And then we're going to talk about that day. All right? Now you may say, what day? Just hold that question. We'll get to it, I promise. Okay? Here's the first thing that Jesus says. And it's right out of the gate. If you love me, right, you will keep my commandments. Now this is Jesus says this idea, verse 15. This, see the first half of this statement? If you love me, Jesus says this three times. In verse 15, verse 23, and verse 25. And then he says it in another way. He says, whoever loves me is the one who keeps my commandments. And then he says it, whoever does not keep my commandments does not love. All right? So there's multiple times that Jesus throws this condition out. And as we have seen throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is big on giving conditional statements to the people. For example, in John 5:46, he says, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Condition. If you believed him, then you would do this. Chapter 6, verse 35, he says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. In other words, if you come to him, you won't hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. 8:39, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. 8:47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And so over and over and over, Jesus has built teachings around these conditional statements. And he does it here today. This is the first time we've seen this conditional statement. And this specific one in verse 15 is also repeated in verse 23. Now the ending changes, but the ending is just synonyms. So verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. 23 says, oh yeah, went too far. Here we go. 23? There we go. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Right? Just the same thing. Now, you don't have to go there. But verse 25 says, if you love me, you would rejoice. That is more conditioned specific to the disciples. Because he's saying, if you love me, you will rejoice that I'm going to the Father. Okay, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that other than to say just what we said, that this is the if you love me condition. But it's more specific to the disciples that were in that room. So the ones we want to focus on are verse 15 and verse 23. Because it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, or you will keep my word. So the question we've got to ask first is, what does that mean? Right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, let's talk about the first half of the condition. If you love me. Here's an interesting thing about the book of John, all right, that I find very unique. And I'll oppose this with Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? So in the Greek language, the word love can be, as it is in English, okay, listen to me, can be both a noun or a verb, okay? So this is an example of love being a verb right here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So love is the action item. Now, if you go read 1 Corinthians 13, love is not the verb, it is the noun. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is, that's love as a noun. It is doing the action, right? Or the action being done, depending on which the way the thing is phrased. But what does John have here? Love is the verb. Love is the action. It is the action that is producing these things. Here's an interesting fact, just in case you're ever in one of those like Bible trivia things, little pastor nerdy things that we do. We come up with all these little cool little thingies. The word love, when it is a verb in John's gospel, appears 37 times. You know how many of the noun version appears? 7. So the word love appears in the Gospel of John 44 times. 37. Now somebody who's really good at math can figure out that percentage really quick. But I'm not. Let's just say that's an overwhelming majority. Right? So what does that mean for us today? Whenever you read the book of John, the Gospel of John, now we're going to talk about 1 John in the fall. That's a different story. We're not there yet. But in the Gospel of John, whenever you read the word love, you can pretty much take it to the bank that John sees love as an action, not as a thing. Which is exactly what we see here. Jesus is saying, love acts. He would totally agree and some of you may have read the book by Bob Goff by the title of Love Does. Love Does. I haven't read it. I know some of you have read it. But this Love Does is a perfect example of how John sees love in the gospel. Love is always doing something. It's never static. It's never just kind of on pause. It is always actively doing something. And Jesus says here, if you love me, you will be doing something. And that specific doing something is you will keep my word or keep my commandments. Now, what does Jesus mean by that? What does he mean by keep my commandments? Well, it should be pretty obvious, but let's talk about it. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you truly love him, you will be obedient to the things that he has said we must do or not do. You say, well, what are those things? Let me give you just a couple. In John 14, 1, we talked about it last week. He says, in the imperative, in the command, believe. Not if you feel like it. Not on a good day. But believe in God. Believe in me. Both are commands. In verse 14, 12, he says, do the works that I do, and greater works than these. In 13:34, we read it this morning as our memory verse. What does he say? Love others when you feel like it. Love others when they love you back. No. He says, love others as I have loved you. That's a command. That's keeping my word. And you say, well, that's just John. Is there anything outside of John? Go read. Look, I was going to attempt to list these today, but it's too many. Just go read the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, are all about how you and I, as believers, should live as citizens of God's kingdom. Chapter 5 alone has 7 commands that you and I are to do. That's just one chapter. Right? So Jesus says, if you love me, if you say today, or if you say in one instance, that, hey, I love you, Jesus, then you must be on the next instance doing what I've said you ought to be doing. So what's that mean? If we're not doing, and this was Jesus' point to them in the room, and it's his point to us this morning, if you're not doing what Jesus said do, then you can't say, I really love Jesus. Because you're not meeting the condition. You can't say, I love Jesus on Sunday morning, but on Monday night, I'm not going to act like him. That's not how it works. Like, those are two mutually exclusive ideas from Jesus. Now, just in case, because I know some of you are going to, or maybe we need to clarify, and some of you are going to try to be lawyers this morning, and some of us are going to ask the question, how do I know? So let's tackle three thoughts really quickly. Now, here's what you need to realize. Jesus is not saying, now follow me. He's not saying, or let's go back. Can you put verse 15 up there for me, Thomas? Real quick. 14, 15.
There we go.
Hey. All right. Putting on the back. So y'all had the first part. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right. That's what he says. Now, he doesn't say, you must keep my commandments in order for me to love you. That's not what he says. So that would be works righteousness. Jesus is not saying that you've got to do the things I do in order to gain my love. That's a false gospel. That's not the gospel of Jesus. Jesus is saying here, if you love me, then out of the love you have for me, you will be willing to do these things. Husbands, wives, that's how our relationships with one another are, right? You know, I mean, I don't know any guy. Maybe y'all do. I don't know any guy who just loves to, like, do the dishes. You know, like, I just wake up in the morning and I'm ready to clean dirty dishes. Yes. I don't know any guy who just, I don't mean to speak for myself. I just am not waking up in the morning ready to do laundry. Holly's not waking up ready to do these things either, so let's just, I do want to throw that out there so y'all think I'm going to get in trouble on the ride home. Okay, neither of us are ready. Just wake up in the morning and be like, I am so thrilled that I get to do laundry and clean the house. But you know what? We do those things for the family because why? Because we love them, and you know, we'd like to go for our kids to go to school without, you know, with clean clothes, right? And we do those things not to get love from the people in our family, but because we love those in our family. It's the same thing Jesus is saying, right? Jesus is saying, you do these things not to gain love, my love, but because you love me. It is the outflow of love that creates all of these things, that is obedient, that does all of these things. Now, some of us in the room are going to be litigators here this morning because we're going to be like, well, did Jesus really say? Come on, kids, teenagers in the room, y'all know this the best. What did y'all really say? Because see, we're all good. Look at me. We're all good when Jesus says, you know, love your neighbor when we're the neighbor. Right? We don't want to pray for the enemy when the enemy is someone else. Because we want to be angry at the enemy. And we want to hold the carrot in front of them. And we want to be the one who swings the sword like Peter does. Right? So we're not careful. We can become litigators and we can litigate out the parts that Jesus says, hey, if you're my follower, this is what it means. And we're like, well, he didn't really mean that. That was just for the first century disciples. And we'll keep the parts that we do like. And what we'll end up being is a halfway obedient disciple instead of being obedient. And that's not what Jesus says. Now, the last thing that some of you might be thinking is, well, Pastor Travis, there's probably a lot of things that Jesus said we ought to be doing. How am I supposed to know them all? Look, I got this great idea, okay? It's really good. It's called reading your Bible. It's a novel idea. I literally just came up with it this week. It's called, you take your Bible and you open it up and you actually read the words that Jesus says, right? Yeah, no, I mean, so. But the reality is there's no way you and I are going to know. There's no way that you and I are going to know what Jesus says we ought to be doing if we're not in our Bible on a consistent basis. On a consistent basis. Look, and just for clarity's sake, you know, we have core values here. Our core values are, listen to it, and they're in a specific order, okay? Catch the order. Bible study and prayer. Being in a small group, which for us is Sunday school. Serving, giving, and engaging people. Did you notice what the first one was? Bible study. That means we value you and I and us together reading the Bible and studying it. Why? Because if you don't do that one, you're probably not going to pray unless you're in trouble. You're not going to serve because why would I serve other people? They should be serving me. You're not going to be giving because it's my money, not theirs. And you're not going to be engaging people in the gospel because you don't see a need to. So if you don't read your Bible, I don't really expect you to do any of the others. Now, I want you to do the others, but I want you to do this one first because it's out of this one that you see the need that you need to do all these other things or ought to be doing these things because that's what believers do if you put it from a macro level. So you've got to be reading your Bible. That's how you're going to know what Jesus says. And you're not going to litigate it away. And you're not going to come to this idea of a workspace, but you're going to see that out of love, we are obedient to the Father. Here's the amazing thing that Jesus says in verse number 23. After the condition, he says, if you meet the condition, right? If you meet the condition, here's what he says. My Father will love him, meaning that person, the one who keeps my commands, the one who loves me, and out of that love, outflows keeping my commandments. That person, my Father will love that person. And we will come to him and make our home with him. In other words, if you truly love Jesus, and then you truly, out of that love for Jesus, you do what Jesus says. Jesus then says the reward will be that he and the Father will come to you and make their home. They will live with you. I don't know of any greater reward that you and I could have. I mean, this is an astonishing reward that the God of the universe, the one who was here before you and I were even a speck of thought in anyone's imagination, the God who said, poof, and it was, and who took nothing and created everything, wants to live with you and me. And that is the reward we get as his children, because we love his son and we're obedient to the words that he gives us. What's the second thing that Jesus interweaves in this story? He says the Father will send a helper. Twice Jesus talks about sending a helper to the disciples. Because look at it, I realize, and Jesus realizes, this whole idea of if you love me, you will keep my commandments is really great, but it's going to be difficult. And he's going away, and he's not going to be there to carry our hand and walk with us. Especially not the 11 and not us here today. So he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now that word helper is a very difficult word for us to translate into English. The actual Greek word, if you're into that, is called paraclete. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Paraclete. Okay? Paraclete. It is a very broad word, and that's why, depending on the translation that you read out of, it will be translated various ways. In the ESV that we read on Sunday mornings, it's translated as helper. If you have a King James Bible, it will be translated as comforter. If you have an NIV Bible, it will be translated as advocate. And if you have a Holman Christian Bible, it will be translated as counselor. Now, let's be real. That's for very different meanings. If we strictly go by the English. But all of those words adequately describe the Greek term paraclete. Because there are pieces of each of our English words that fit into this idea that Jesus is creating. I was reading one of my commentaries, and I loved what one author said, a Central African dialect, how they translated this phrase. I loved it. Here's how they translated it. One who falls down beside us. One who falls down beside us. The idea is that when you and I are walking on a journey, the journey toward Christ's likeness, and we're walking and we hit the pothole and we fall down, the helper, the paraclete, is the one who rushes over to us and helps us get back up. Here's the way I describe it to teenagers. Right? And I think it's good for us as adults as well. The helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, advocate, whatever your translation is, the person who comes alongside of you as you're walking toward Christ and puts his arm around you and says, hey, let's do this today. That's who Jesus says, I am sending to you. And then he comes up with eight descriptive terms for this paraclete. Eight. Here are the first three. He says he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Spirit, and He is sent in Jesus' name. So, in other words, this is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit. The third member of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit. By saying that He is the Spirit of truth, remember, Jesus just said last week in John 14, earlier, around verse 12, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the truth, and this is the Spirit of truth, which means what? They're co-equal. So the Holy Spirit is not like the B team. It's not like Jesus and God the Father are the A team, and the Spirit's the B team, and since we can't have the A team, Jesus gives us the B team. No, Jesus is saying, we are all equal in character and nature. And then He puts the part where He says, in Jesus' name, He'll be sent in my name. What does that mean? That means they're missionally the same as well. So it's not like there's an A team or a B team. And there's not like God the Father and Son have one idea of what's going to happen, and the Spirit has another idea of what's going to happen. Both of those are false ideas. Jesus is saying here that this God that I am sending to you, the Spirit, is fully God, and we're all on the same page, and we're missionally the same, and He's going to point you in the same direction that I will point you. And then He gives us five roles that the Spirit will do. I'll list them very quickly. He says He will be with you forever. He will dwell with you. He will be in you. All three of those ideas deal with the idea that Jesus is leaving. Because remember, this whole conversation starts because the disciple, Jesus has just told Peter that He's going to betray him, or going to deny him, and He's just told him that one of them is going to betray him, and that He's leaving them. And so all three of be with you forever, dwell with you, be in you. What are those tackle? That I am not going to be here with you much longer. And then the last two roles that He says, He will teach you all things and bring back to memory. And those two things tackle that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Because let's be real. Look at me this morning. That's a difficult task to do. Right? Keep Jesus' command. I mean, look. We just listed like several. I mentioned this morning, and I mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 has seven of them. I mean, if we were to, I Googled commandments of Jesus. You know what Google came up with? 50 commandments of Jesus. And I was like, that's not as bad as I thought. Scroll down, 300. And I was like, oh, never going to make it. Right? And the idea is not for us to go back and list them on, in our house somewhere and be like, hey, did you do this today? Hey, did you do this today? That's not the point Jesus is making. But it is a daunting task for us to think that when we walk out of these doors, the expectation is if we really want to say we love Jesus, we got to keep everything that Jesus says. Jesus knows that. You know why He says two of the roles that the Holy Spirit is going to do for the disciples and for you and I who love Jesus today? He says He's going to teach you all things. And He's going to bring back to memory all that I have said. Now, listen to me. Here's the caveat to bringing back to memory. Right? He can't bring it back to your memory if it ain't never been in your memory. Right? Which again goes back to, how do you get it in your memory? You got to read. Or you got to listen to it while you're in the car. If you drive a lot, YouVersion Bible app, you can hit play. It will read the Bible to you. It's better if you, read and listen to it, or read it than just listen to it. Because I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes if I just listen to it, my mind kind of wanders off here or wanders off there. But that's better than nothing. Right? But you got to get in it, because He can't bring it back to your memory if it ain't never been in your memory to begin with. Right? And so Jesus says, I'm going to send you someone that is going to help you in every way that you will need. As the Central African dialect said, who is going to be the one who falls down beside you, picks you back up, puts His arm around you and says, hey, let's do this thing together. And then lastly, Jesus weaves in this idea of that day, which is the day, which is just less than 24 hours away, that Jesus is going to be crucified, is going to die and be buried in the tomb. And why does Jesus bring up that day? He continually brings it up over and over. He'll continue to do this throughout as we get closer to that time. Because he wants them to see that he's preparing them for that day. And he says, so that you may believe. Right? Because at the end of the day, we're a long ways away, but at the end of John's gospel, in chapter 20, John says, he writes this gospel so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And throughout this entire gospel, what is Jesus constantly talking about? Believe, 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 believe. And so when we put all of this together, we put all of chapter 14 together, what do we see? We see, first, that Jesus expects those who love him to absolutely keep his commandments. And he sends someone to help us do just that, the Holy Spirit. And he wants to prepare us in every way that he can so that we might believe in him. So there's two questions. I really struggled with how to do this application form because it is, to me, so very straightforward. Like, it's, if you love Jesus, you do what he says. If you don't do what he says, you don't love him. Right? And so that's kind of the gist of it. So I came up, ended with the application time just being two questions. Really. Because that, to me, that's kind of the bottom line. The first question is, does what we say we are match what we do? Does what we say we are match what we do? So here's the hypothetical. If I were to ask you, hey, do you love Jesus? And you said yes, would what you do this week match what you just told me? The same goes for me. And let's be real, sometimes that don't quite match, does it? That's why we have someone who comes along and falls to the ground with us to help us back up, which leads us into the second question. Are we seeking the help the Holy Spirit is offering? Right? Because what does Jesus say? He is there. He is your advocate, counselor, helper, friend. He's the one who falls down beside you. But you know what? If I'm honest, there are some times when I've fallen down and I failed and the Spirit rushes to help me, like, I'm like, hey, I don't need your help right now. Get away. Get away. Get away. Get away. So the question is, because the outflow of this passage for our hearts and our lives today is, does what we say we are match what we do? And in those moments when it doesn't quite match, are we willing to accept the helper's help to help those two things match? Well, because what the world needs, if we're truthful, what the world needs is for you and I, for our actions to match our words. Right? Because the world needs to see the real Jesus and what he's really like. And the only way that's going to happen is if those who love him do what he says they should be doing.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.